Hi, nice to be here today, and I want to thank Alice Formiga and eOrganic for their efforts recording too, and OFRF for the session talking about soil health, which is something that I've spent my whole career working on, and really kind of following how the standard in the U.S. has evolved over time within the context of sustainable development goals. So you have sort of this array of pictures here that count, you know, where organic started with the original soil health seal, which really was highly influenced from perspectives informed by a legacy of natural philosophy that had a very holistic conception that tied soils and stewardship very much to a term that might be new to some of you, of the O economy, which was really this conception of care and balance that was originally spiritual in nature and tied people to a place. And that nature-based conceptualization was picked up in many ways and responded to by some of the early proponents who really actually had really pointed scientific questions that were really ambitious and systems thinkers. So I cite or list here Lady Eve and Sir Albert Howard and Rudolf Steiner, who are really, read some of their readings, and you see now from some of the talks I saw this week, us starting to get at with the scientific tools to really address their hypotheses. So they raised some really compelling questions, and the challenge that organic has posed to agriculture has been really influential. The International Federation of Organic Agricultural Movement norms that guide organic now have practice standards that have directly influenced our own national standard. And in them they have standards of care for ecology, health, and fairness that are drafted there and should be echoed really strongly in our standard. Although I fear that in the U.S. not everybody appreciates this sort of history and origins of our standard. In the IFOAM norms, they directly tie and state that organic standards are soil-based. But this ambition that soil can basically bear and support this society that is equitable and sustainable is a lot to ask of the soil, but it comes from sort of this bigger O economy conception. So I think we should really hold on to that and remind people of that. And I also see now at this time, and I know some people don't like to think of international policies and standards, but it's really important to us because we live in the world. I have here this cartoon of the sort of economy basically and society being nested inside our natural resource base. And I think that this, in this cartoon, the bullseye model, comes from the daily rules, which really are driving sustainable development goals. And I really encourage all of you to go back and read your Herman Daly and ask your students to if they haven't. And really, we want to avoid and not have organics succumb to Mickey Mouse standards, right, that really don't, that marginalize our more ambitious goals. Also, and I'm sort of compelled to give this talk because of the conversation that's going in organic about whether we allow certification of hydroponic systems and containerized media, which as a person who bought in and am here as a soil scientist embedded, it's a challenging conversation for me. But I do think as organic is certifying processing and production, we really have to seriously think about and engage in the conversation of life cycle analysis, which really is cradle-to-grave thinking that is really very holistic and ambitious and allows us to address bigger questions. I put up here just because I couldn't resist, right now we don't have in Sustainable Development Goals a soil indicator, but we have now, like the IPCC, they have an international panel on soils, which published in 2015 a global assessment of soil health. I encourage you to look at that. What we do have now in domestically is organic standard or systems plan as a major guidance, and I hear or you read in the literature or in the media more people emphasizing what we don't do in organic, and I think this is a terrible mistake to think organic is a system that basically is a Luddite standard that rejects technology, right? It is about what we do, and we really have to get clear on this. It's an ambitious or what we call an aspirational standard. And you list here, these are the practices that our standard points us to. Unfortunately, excuse me, I should have had some water. In 1992, our practice standard, the Legislative Act, did not explicitly retain that phrase that's in the IFOAM norms that organic is soil-based, but it did point to directly the same management of of the soil as the way that we would achieve our organic goals. And it also listed very explicitly that organic is site-based. And I think that this site-based stewardship of a resource helps you be conservative and reminds you to manage over time to conserve that resource for future well-being. So when we look at legislative intent, oh, Dory, aren't you a doll? it's good to have friends. Really that legislative intent, and really trying to think about this, I kept slipping from being a soil scientist into thinking, gosh, I wish I was a lawyer. So I do have a friend who's a lawyer, and I talked to him about this. Like, and really, I had come to on my own this sort of following this discussion, and it really was about defining moments. And this is what happens when legislative acts are vague. Lawyers look at terminology. And so the Standards Board, which is working really hard, in 2010 had a recommendation that basically interpreted the media as being okay because it can support life, which has been a central focus of organic, to really try to understand the role of biology. And I think that allowed the situation we have now, which misdefined soil initially, but that's been corrected in the new conversation and in the new recommendation, which really recognizes soil as the natural body formed in place through soil-forming factors. And this grounds agriculture in a place and keeps people to be responsible to their local environment. And really, a person who's going to steward over time has to pay it forward. So if we want to move from this and not make agriculture or organic be place-based, we've got to contend with that and get into life cycle metrics. But for now, organic has basically a lot of credibility and should pat itself on the back for its leadership in where we are in the soil health discussion. We have really some really good deep understandings of what I think of organic principles of practice, where we're really thinking about biologically based practices. And some of the science I saw this week really puts a lot of mechanistic explanation for much of this that we've seen over time, though, that reducing external inputs and heavy inputs of fertility allows us to leverage biological associations and really make nutrient cycling tighter. You have pictures from the DOC experiment where we see on the left, by managing soil organic matter and having the rotations that we use, even with tillage, we increase water entry, water retention, we don't have puddling and runoff for the conventional. And most of this we've gotten from careful experimentation with side-by-side trials and controls. And it's hard to get this kind of data from individual farms, right? So we're banking on a lot of these comparative studies. We have down in the nutrient leaching study comparison, the red bars are conventional with nitrate leaching from organic farms. That's Greg McIsaac's data. Then we have on the bottom, Rodale, where we have under a drought year, the benefits to crop productivity under stress because of improvements in soil health with organic on the left, conventional on the right. And then, I'm sorry you can't see it very well, but we have biodiversity looking at different insects that are basically various contributors to ecosystem function with the organic on the right. So, we're resting on our laurels with this kind of data, but we do have a lot of pressure on organic, and farmers in organic that are getting certified might be going to denser nutrient sources, might be shortening their rotations, might be getting certified in covered systems with plastic that don't even have rotations, right? So we have to protect that with the standard, but in general, and so this is a study from some of our work with Dr. Ugarte in the back, where we did a meta-analysis from these comparative studies, and we went to the Uber indicator of soil organic matter, and you see with comparisons that are superficial, i.e. from the surface of the soil, and these are all compared to the conventional reference, that organic and reduced tillage increase organic matter, but if we look more deeply and extend that rhizosphere down into a reasonable depth, organic really is a superior practice for building soil organic matter. That's not the only metric, but it does work well. Sorry, I did have one. We're not the only folks, organic isn't the only entity. There have been lots of entities and groups, organizations, movements really interested in promoting soil health and having building soil as the centerpiece of the movement, but they haven't just been focused on soil. They have made that soil and that they have had this holistic consensus that care for your resource base and the non-renewable resource of soil was vital. So, and Albrecht, who I misspelled his name, sorry, also really was sophisticated in understanding how we had to communicate health to quality and get it in the market. We have now this new soil health players that have really made social health a business imperative. And we also have everybody recognizing soil health as basically the Uber metric, and really understanding that we've got to be able to interpret the direction we're headed for better or for worse. So in this, and this is this tie to the natural capital, right, daily. So we have, and I put this here, you know, we had a 1994 list of our minimum data set, and see some minimum data, oh, I guess Warren left. But we were looking through the keyhole, and I think the NRCS, and through its good at work, brought them out, and Soil Health Institute had its list of metrics that are recommended. But organic and soil health was emphasizing the soil biology, and in the Cornell Soil Health Test Kit, which lots of groups are using in their basic, the only biological they're actually including for $60 a single sample is respiration. And you need to have an interpretive frame behind respiration to do much. The things that people really want information about, for example, nitrogen supply, they do have a physical measure, and physical fertility is key. You know, I ask myself, are we really thinking about pushing this out in soil testing mode at this price? Right now, I don't think so, but we do need to figure out how to use this information. So the PASA presentation about sort of pooling data and getting a reference, that's exactly the kind of work we have to do. We do have incredible knowledge to support what I call tier three measures, proving these nuanced connections between plant communications, those plant communications trailing down to roots, to disease. And we have some biological metrics that are really could work that understand stoichiometric relationships and nutrient feedbacks. And we are putting these into models. So I think with sort of technical support, but this is a summary of right now where we are, and we have to do better. For people farming with organic methods, so this is the practices from one of the farmers we work with, looking at what we would give them for estimates of nitrogen supply using different state recommendations, right? We have more than a doubling, more than a 100% increase, and this isn't because of climate. This doesn't vary because of more rain. You know, we really have to do better and have the scientific community step up to support people's interpretation. And right now with these sort of divide in standards, we have planning and reflective notion built into the organic standard. If you actually look at the organic standards and if they're delivered well, they get people to be thoughtful, intentional, and really try to connect. And I encourage people to look at this rotation planner because it's wonderful to get deeper into the specifics of the rotation. We can't just say diversity. We do have to think about whether something is a host crop, and we do have the knowledge we can bring. If we're going to go beyond inorganic, we got to get into life cycle, and it can't just be energy. It's got to be these compounds that can be pollutants. You know, we do have to worry about the amphibians out there. You know, and also there's even social life cycle standards are emerging. We've got lots of resources, and I think it's great people too looking and comparing at other metrics. We have a lot of entry into the soil health, and we have Rodale proposing a new organic standard. So we've got to be ambitious. Organic is an aspirational standard in our goals. We've got to not just be what we don't do. We have to explain why we use the precautionary principle and how we tie to societal well-being. In our practices, some of the tools that we really have that aren't widely recommended, nutrient testing is complicated, so budgeting works really well. You know, so I think for the scientific community to support organic, borrow good ideas. I don't think IPM is totally ramified into organic to the extent it could. People using 4Rs are doing really articulate planning about edge of field. So organic should, you know, they're using the ideas organic has delivered, and we should borrow those ideas and incorporate them in. We do have, I think, a lot of tier one metrics that can be supported in these group study kind of things. So collecting and supporting data, people being reflective, and actually trying not to compare on the general. Really, let's try to help individual farmers do the best they can. So, you know, I think care for the organic standards requires us to keep asking these great questions that the people who basically fostered the standard did. We can't let organic stay static. It has to move forward to remain a leader in the soil health arena. We have to really embrace and articulate soil centrism as the logic to the circular economy. It's not about the soil, it's about what soil can do. And we really have to work at both planning and visualization tools that help us meet our aspirations. And any questions? And thank you, Dory.
Okay.
Okay.
You mentioned the controversy or the question about soilless and aquaponics and all. There's also the question of the new gene technologies and acceptance mm-hmm. of that, and you didn't say anything about that.
Yeah, that's not so much a soil thing, but I think that's a really good and also one of these challenging questions. And there was a bunch of work done in Europe on recommending, sort of parsing through which could be included and could be excluded. And I thought more about trying to understand what the objections were and what the risks were. So I would say we should reconsider not a blanket no, and really consider some of these things that meet the precautionary principle and why. And I think there are some that, you know, but I think the community has a hard time moving forward with that question.
Good. All right. Thank you.